All right, everything. We're live streaming.
Yeah. Okay, why am I hearing?
Why am I hearing that?
Live. I'm getting an echo.
Oh, I know why. There we go.
Stop it. It's the echo.
No, it's still echoing.
Is that me?
Am I
echoing?
Not now.
Okay. How about now?
I am.
Yeah. Why is that?
You are too. Not now.
No, because I'm not talking. Hang on a second.
No, I'm not echoing now.
Either. Check, check, check. Yeah, I'm not echoing either.
Check, check, check.
Audio is where it's supposed to be.
Well,
You're not echoing. Who's echoing?
Who's echoing?
It might have been me. How about?
Yeah, I was definitely what?
I'm going to change the setting.
I'm going to change the setting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about now?
You are. How about now?
You are.
Hang on, I get it. You're just echoing.
Okay, stand stop for a second. Okay. It's echoing. Okay.
It wasn't. Now it is again.
Is it echoing now?
Check one, two. You're doing something, Dan, so stop it. It's you. Okay, it's not us.
Figured it out. Okay. Although, the upgraded version of Zoom is doing something different now.
Hey, Dan, how about this? Fuck away.
By the way, have you opened your pool yet?
Have you opened what?
Yes.
I opened the
pool. What? Hold on. What kind of fucking, in the middle of an echoing bit, why did you ask him all of a sudden out of nowhere if he opened his pool?
You don't know why? I know why.
Why?
The intro. He's got to change the intro. He always mentions, Brampton, about the pool. I knew right away.
The open pool.
I'm sorry. I have no idea what just happened. I'll just sit back here and listen to that. Because I have no idea. We're echoing. We're echoing. Did you open your pool yet?
Yes, because he was preparing the intro.
All right.
And he makes reference to the pool. I got it right away.
You're so much more.
You're slipping. You're slipping.
Well, how would that what would that mean to me? Okay, so have you opened
your
pool yet?
You've never heard the intro?
No, I don't listen to it.
Oh, from our Brampton facility with a soon-to-be-open pool.
Oh, I see.
Which will be now with the now.
Okay, but can we just in the future when we're doing a funny echo bit, can you just let that?
I thought it was my fault. And I thought it was. I didn't know it was a bit. I just thought it was okay. Now we're over.
Well, I wasn't. I was still enjoying the whole.
Okay,
are we echoing bit? What was it? By the way, was it you?
It was. Well, yeah. The upgraded program.
All right.
I've done some live performance audio. Okay, is off.
Can you do this? Can you come over here and upgrade my program? All right. Well, so we'll let's get to the intro because apparently that's foremost on Dan's mind. And then we'll explain to everyone why we're going 15 minutes early. Because if you're a fan of the live stream, and I talked to somebody on the weekend, just as a side note, that actually likes listening to us in the morning as a morning show.
Well, that makes sense. I kind of get that idea because it feels different. It's live.
Well, yeah. I always consider the people that are watching us live, like my brother and the few others, are just like, hey, that's nice. But this person actually puts it on in the background like it's a radio show.
Yeah. Well, I remember back in 2011, 2012, when we were still getting up and going and starting this thing, and it was just a podcast before we had ventured into any of the radio things we did. Fantasizing that will a podcast ever have the ability one day to be heard live without the being attached to a radio station or a facility like that, thinking, what are the chances? And here we are.
I remember us having discussions about how one day, what if it would, our fantasy was that one day a podcast would be available in people's cars. And I remember talking to, I think it was Alan Cross at the time, saying that, when that day happens, everything will change. Nothing will be the same because prior to that, because in 2011, 2012, people didn't have as much or weren't, I don't think, Bluetoothing audio content the way they are now.
No. Yeah, but the Apple CarPlay or the AirPlay or whatever those things are called in the newer cars, it's amazing. Because we get an icon just like any other radio station. We're as easily accessible as any radio station or any other thing. On Earth. It's amazing.
On the Earth. Yes, the entire planet.
On Earth.
Okay, echoing aside and pool aside, I did want to just say that you know, sometimes in our little pre-show get together, I wish I was recording that, because at one point you guys were talking about some kind of trailer park rule, and Dan had a dog there this weekend, his girlfriend's son's dog, and the dog was running free, and I was listening and talking about the fact that at the trailer park now, dogs can't run free.
Well, they've never supposed to be. Right. That rule's always been there, but not in our end of the park, not really enforced.
Right. So, and in the middle of his discussion, which was, you know, lighthearted, but at least about something, in the middle of it, you start yelling, shit, shit, poo, shit, shit, poo. And, I thought, right. You know, really, I should just record this first part, too. Mm-hmm. Because when Grandpa, soon to be 68-year-old Grampy, mm-hmm. starts yelling like a child, shit, shit, poo.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got better. The people up there have gotten a little better about picking up the poo. Because, you know, that question always, it was a standing question. Did you pick up any poo today? Well, no. Well, your dog shit. You know your dog shit. So if you haven't picked up any poo today, somebody else has for you. Or it's lying somewhere. Because dog shit once, twice, three times a day.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't picked up any today, somebody else has.
So the idea being that it's like, to be a good neighbor, you just, whatever poo you see, you pick it up. So that the dogs can run free range.
Yeah, no, no. That's not it, really.
Well, what is it then?
Well, you shouldn't have to be a good neighbor, because it's a little bit of out of hand. That's the problem.
Oh, I get it. Well, and you know, so the point is, when a grown man sings shit, shit, poo, it really is too bad we don't have it recorded.
And he's got nothing else to say.
Well, without further delay and ado, here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Brampton facility with a now-open pool from our... Well, you know, I got all mixed up here. Can we start again?
Start again.
Okay. I'm sorry. Did you not know we were doing a show today?
No, I knew. This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Brampton facility with a now-open pool, and from a trailer north of Peterborough with the Dennis Duranis bust. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Tanya Hutton Zoom Theater, and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. And now, here are two men who just about didn't work today in honor of any holiday they can find, but the National Cellophane Day, National Grape Popsicle Day, and Memorial Day didn't cut it, as they're all American. It is the very hardworking Canadian captains of pod industry, Humble and Fred.
Very nice, Dan. Very complicated, but extremely well-written and certainly appreciated.
Can I ask you guys a question just off the top, seeing that we're talking about that dog thing? The reason I knew there was a dog there, I was here back in Brampton, but at my trailer, I have installed like a little live cam. Like, I have security at the front of my house, the back of my house. And it's not so much for security. I use it for the back of the house so I can check on the pool when I'm away to make sure the water's flowing or whatever. And honestly, I installed it at the trailer because I'm one of these guys. Like, before I went to Cabarete, before I go to certain places in Florida or wherever I travel, I like to search out live cams. Do you ever do that? And you can just see live what's happening in your destination. Well, before I went to Ireland, I did it, and the main drag there. And what I like to do here in Brampton is just call it up, and I can see my dock and the lake and the flag waving and the sun, whether the sun's shining. I just do it for peace of mind. But do you think it's unethical for me to have that installed there?
Well, first of all, to answer your question, early in the internet days,
yeah,
you know, when we both discovered it, you know, yeah, I would look in the odd time because it would be like the novelty of seeing, right. You know, in Times Square, there would be a live cam
shot.
But Not since, you know, AOL online have I, you know, bothered doing it. Why do you think it's unethical, though? Where's that? What's the ethical question?
Well, would people think I'm spying on them? Because...
But it's your trailer.
I know, but for example, yesterday, it alerted me and there was dogs walking across the front of my trailer. So I immediately sent the video to Dan. So might leave the impression like, oh, I'm watching you. That's not me.
That's right. Fred is watching you. Dan, do you feel violated, your privacy violated, knowing that Fred Patterson's in his laboratory in Brampton
watching everything?
A little bit.
But yeah. What do you mean a little bit? You shouldn't be anywhere near his trailer.
Well, his trailer's right next door to my trailer.
That's okay. There's a boundary line. I know the boundary line. Stay on your side.
I borrowed his leaf blower yesterday. And
oh,
so
you
I
did?
Yeah.
Did you leave him? Leave him a nice gift?
I don't leave gifts up here for... Oh, I see. The poo-poo shit.
No. But did you leave him a like, hey, Fred, I borrowed your leaf blower. Here's a nice gift.
It's, you know, kind of everybody helps everybody out.
That's fine. I honestly don't care about that. Right. And the thing is, I'm not spying because there's nothing I can do about what's going on, you know, 200 kilometers away. I do it, as I said, for peace of mind. I just like it. In the morning, I'll get up and just check out what's the lake look like this morning. It gives me great comfort. You know, before my mother died, part of the reason that I do this still is because that gave her great joy. She was afraid of airplanes, but she used to go on and look at live cams all over the world, and it used to give her, especially in England, she always wanted to go to England but was afraid to fly, and it gave her great joy, and I think part of me still clings to that. All right.
Well, that's very sweet.
That is sweet. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's a little bit, you know, because you're up here in the wilderness, in a way, and there's, you know, times during the week, especially after a long week, there's hardly anybody up here at all. Great. So, you know, if you happen to be, you know, less dressed than, you know, you normally would be, there's, think about
that's
all
right, because Dan,
under surveillance.
People should know that Dan Duran,
skinny dips,
bathes naked in the pool, in the lake. Let's see, in your new trailer, do you have a nicer shower facility, bathroom facility?
Oh, beautiful. Howard, wait till you try out that shower.
So, but does that, make you want to take a shower inside versus jump in the lake with your white ass flying for everyone to see?
Well, they're kind of the same, you know, you're getting wet or whatever. But, you know, if you go out, you know, late afternoon doing a lot of work around the place and it's a hot day and, you know, you got to do a little jumping in.
So when you're in the lake and you're naked, are there reports of the Loch Ness Monster being?
No, Howard, Cock Ness Monster.
Cock Ness, that's right. Sorry.
Cock Ness Monster, Howard. Come on, you missed that one.
how did that one pass me by?
I don't know. See, you're slipping.
I must be. Slipping. Well, you know, you're the first people I've talked to in 3 days. This is Fred. This is Fred in his home in Brampton. From a distance.
From a distance.
Fred's looking at the goings on in the trailer park. Dan Duran, are we done with the dog poo and the pool opening and the echo?
By the way, in Las Vegas, I saw Bette Midler sing this live. It was beautiful.
I know you love
it. It's sort of a sappy song, but it was a great moment.
Well, the only reason I thought of it is because it's got the line in God is watching us, but I was thinking
He is.
Well, and then, of course, in this case, Fred is watching us. It's a long way to go, Dan. I know that. But that's why maybe I missed maybe I missed the Cock Ness Monster. I was focused on other things.
Hey, I was going to mention something that yesterday I woke up first thing in the morning, like I do quite early when those in our thing, and I noticed this spot in my groinal area.
Uh-oh.
What?
And I looked, and there was like a little leg sticking out of the spot.
What? Okay, back up. You woke up, then you mumbled something, and then you saw a foot sticking out of your groin.
I saw a little, kind of spot on me. I thought it was a pimple or something. in my groinal area, just to the left.
Was it a tick?
Okay.
It was a tick.
It was a tick.
Oh, no.
The place is loaded, and this is the day after the dog that was up here. Lisa found a tick on the dog. Our neighbors had found a tick on themselves recently. It's a new thing. There's ticks. Ticks are a big thing right now.
Well, first of all, it's not a new thing, but go ahead. Because why did you?
It's what I mean is it's a new thing. It's like it's going to happen. It's like it's not just it's a random thing that a tick is like.
Well, this year
they're everywhere right now.
For the last couple of years, I've been doing that, but this year in particular, I got this tick stuff for Stan because I had heard that this was going to be a worse than usual season for ticks.
Jesus.
Well, why does that make you go, Jesus?
Well, it's just keeps coming at us. I mean, COVID, forest fires, ticks. We had caterpillars up there last year. Like, it's one thing after another.
No offense.
I don't recall this in your...
tick infestation is the same as COVID.
No, what I'm saying is something to worry about, be concerned with. For years, decades, going up north all summer and never had to worry about any of this shit. Now it's like one thing after another. That's all. Like, what's with the ticks all of a sudden? How is that tied to global warming? I'm sure it is.
Well, first of all, this isn't the first year that I've gotten tick medication for Stan. It's been a few years. And, you know, if you're not, where do you think you, first of all, can we get back to the fact that he woke up, took a look at his giant wingle-angle, and saw a leg sticking up? You know, he doesn't say it's a bug leg. He just says it's a leg. Like, his dick is so big, it could have been a lost child. We don't know.
It could have been
a toddler that went missing.
Yes.
It was gross, though. I mean, you know, like, because the head was obviously totally embedded in me because I could just see the little feet, you know,
dangling.
Dangling on the out, and it was dead. So their tick removal tools are designed so that they put pressure on the skin. It sort of looks like a little crowbar. I don't have one. I'm going to get one now.
Yeah.
And then you put pressure on each side of it, and then the tick says, "Ooh, I don't like this," and pulls itself out, so it doesn't leave any of its tickness inside you. Now, the chances of getting Lyme disease are, you know, quite a little bit. You know, it's not that big of a deal yet. But, I mean, because ticks... certain kind of ticks do carry it, but you know, ticks have been around, but you know, now we've got to worry about this.
In my world, like in the world of golf courses and walking around high fescue grasses, it's certainly been a topic of conversation for several years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no, I know that, but it seems to be ramping up, Howard. That's the thing.
Big tick year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't have a really cold winter. And my understanding is it has to get below minus 20.
Well, how big was... there you go. It's tied to global warming. See?
I was thinking about that the other day. And for a second, I was listening to a story on the news about global warming. And I couldn't remember what we used to call it. I did. I blanked for a second. What do we used to call it? Oh, climate change.
Right. Yeah, which one are you supposed to use now?
Global warming. Oh, no. Is it climate change now?
I think it's climate change, yes.
Climate change. It used to be global warming. Okay, yeah, that's what I couldn't remember.
I mean, still is global warming. It's just everybody, you know, misrepresented global warming. Well, it's not getting warmer here. It's just
right. That's exactly why. The global warming people.
Idiots.
Got a new PR company, and they said the real problem is the word warming is too much for stupid people.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you still see these grandiose or these bold statements by these deniers. It's like, what is in it for you? I don't get it, but it's still happening.
With still all the storms in the States over the weekend?
Storms in the States. Like, apparently the worst hurricane season they're predicting since 2005.
And the tornadoes. And Florida has been baked in May like never before.
Well, exactly. You know what's happened before.
Yeah. The problem is it's just so condensed now and happens so rapidly in so many different places. Like, wake the fuck up. Like, anyway.
And we're continuing.
What hurts by being aware?
Well, exactly. And, you know, my theory is that, okay, if you don't think there's any global warming and you're wrong, we're fucked. Mm-hmm. So why not just go along with it? I think part of it is because it's tied to this ideal of, you know, that somehow it's you're soft or you're a Democrat or you're a liberal mm-hmm. if you're too concerned with the planet. It is. There's some of that over there. But meantime, here in the GTA, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about the weather, as we often do before the show started. That, somewhere in the in between the shit, shit, poo conversation.
Mm-hmm. Shit, shit, poo. Shit, shit, poo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tick, tick, poo. Tick, tick, poo.
Angle, angle.
The fact is the weather here has been shitty. You know, Saturday rained. Yesterday was okay. There was a, I think Friday was nice. Today is supposed to rain all day. The reason we're doing this, we haven't even gotten to the point. We started 15 minutes early today because I have to go to a golf tournament. Oh, I have to. I'm going to a golf tournament. And I wanted to get finished a little bit early because it starts this morning. And I didn't want to take the full day off. But in the meantime, I checked the forecast. And starting at 11 a.m. when we're well into this golf tournament, there's like 3 millimeters of rain every hour for the most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 yeah. degrees.
Yeah. Well, we had our nice day yesterday, and so now you pay for it with 7 or 8 shitty ones.
Yeah, that's, but even yesterday,
that's the pattern.
Even yesterday was a little cool in the morning, and
not here in Brampton, not here in Paradise. It's beautiful oh, yeah? all day long.
Was it now?
Yep.
Anyway, welcome everyone. Dan, don't go away because I have a story, and I thought, well, actually, I called Dan about a part of this story concerned trying to fix it myself, but and I did a service call to Dan. But this basically is, I have Bell Fibe for my television, and I have Bell Internet, which goes along with the Bell Fibe. And about 10 days ago, do you guys have Bell Fibe?
No.
Yeah, Rogers Ignite.
Okay. But they might as well be the same companies.
Yeah. So but I have Bell Internet.
Okay, so about 10 days ago, my TV stopped working for a second, and then, and, you know, you just reboot. It says reboot the system. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of happened intermittently for a couple of days. And then I started getting this blue screen that said, uh-oh. It actually says that. It goes, uh-oh, mm-hmm. something went wrong. This continues, call, and if this continues, it says, go to menu, settings, reboot the system, or call this number. And over the last 7 or 8 days now, my television has stopped working. Strangely enough, Dan, when you press the guide, you can see the preview of the channel.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
You press select, the channel happens, and it works for about 15 seconds. And then the screen comes up. So this story is entitled How I Went From Mr. Congeniality okay. to Dan Durant.
Just to review, what does the screen say when it pops up?
It says, uh-oh, something went wrong.
That's it? No and explanation?
No, it does. Then it doesn't explain it, but it said, go to settings menu, reboot your system, and if that doesn't work, give us a call. Right. So in the middle of last
sort
week
of code? Does it give you a code?
Oh yeah, it gives you code error code 101.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get to the I'm going to shorten this up. I want to get to the part where so at first I got on with last Wednesday with a great person at customer service or whatever technical support, and they can do something remotely where they send a signal and then they try and do all that stuff. It didn't work. And what he said was, and again, rebooted the modem, rebooted the television, the receiver. So on, and I was very impressed. Actually, this was Thursday. Friday, I had a new receiver. Like overnight.
Wow.
I'm very impressive. So the first call I was on was about an hour while we did the troubleshooting. I get a new receiver. The instructions couldn't be simpler. Hook it up. The drag of it is that they make you, you have to send it back to them. I have to go to Pearl later today or tomorrow. I hook it up, same problem. Now I'm on the phone again with customer support. Same problem. Exactly the same problem. Where I started to get a little irritated was the second person said, oh, this is just congestion. And I said, explain that to me. Yeah, that's the face. I was like, congestion? Meaning that, oh, there's like something's going on in the system. And then I said, well, this has been going on for 8 or 9 days. You're a big company. Have you not figured out how to, and you know, you'll love this, Fred, because I said, well, here's what we're going to do. As of 9 days ago when this happened, I'm going to want to be, I want to be not charged for that time because the television has not been able to be able to be operational. And then they say, of course, we'll, once it's fixed, this is what they said, Dan, once it's fixed, we'll go back and, you know, remove that charge. I'm like, okay. So that was Friday. Saturday still doesn't work. It's not fixed. So I got on the phone yesterday. You'll love this, Dan. I thought this is a very Dan Duran phrase. I finally got the third or fourth person I've talked to now in 3 or 4 days. And I said, listen, what's your name? They always tell you their name. Let's say the guy's name is Sam. Great kid. I go, Sam, I just want you to know this is now a customer retention call. That's, and I said, because I'm no longer interested in hearing about why this might be happening on your end. I just want you to know, if something doesn't happen in this call, this will be the end of Bell 5 in my house. I don't need it. So anyway, apparently I'm, and you know, you're right, Fred, I'm not the only person that has been experiencing this. Something's going on with their system, but now I have a technician coming over here on tomorrow to, you know, physically figure out why the service is intermittent. Here's a weird thing, Dan. My on-demand is still available. So,
really?
Yeah, it's so weird. Like I went and checked out, because I was curious, like, is that down too? So the on-demand's available. Like, I could rent a movie or watch a special. And the live television works on, when you put it on, you know, the guide, there's a little preview window. But have you ever heard of anything like that?
The only thing it kind of makes me think that there's something to do with it is blocking all the channels for you, because it may think that you're not subscribing in some way. Because if you can do that other stuff, obviously the communication with the
obviously computer, the signal is getting to my television. Yeah. Well, but the thing is, I can't be that, because if that were the case, it wouldn't work for 15 seconds.
Anything about the message say you've got too many devices working?
No. It's okay. So I went on the internet, and of course, there's a bunch of people that are having similar issues with Bell. And the clue is, when she said to me a couple of calls ago that there was some kind of congestion, it led me to believe that maybe they're overtaxing the system.
Oh. Maybe. Howard, can you, through the app thing, can you, like, get Sportsnet or TSN specifically? Will it allow you to do that? Netflix, whatever?
Through, like, you mean, like, on your phone or something?
On my computer? Yeah, I can.
No. No, I'm saying if you sat in front of your TV right now, could you put it on the Sportsnet app, put in your Bell 5 credentials, and it will work?
I haven't tried that.
Oh,
but it does work on my computer. And it works on my phone.
Oh, okay.
And there's nothing wrong with the television. But this error code 101 just kept coming up over and over again. To answer your question, Dan, I didn't yell, but the tone in my voice changed over four calls. You know what really pissed me? Well, yeah, and I did what you would have done. On the third call, I asked to speak to his supervisor, and that was probably my most irritated call, and the woman put me on hold. She was not happy with me, I could tell, and then the supervisor never appeared. So after 25 minutes, I hung up, and I called again.
Yeah. So again, the message doesn't say anything about too many devices or... It just says, oop, there's a network problem.
No, it's not a device issue. I've only got one device connected.
Okay. Secondly, you went online and your research reveals that other people are having this problem as well.
Other people. And by the way, for not just a few weeks, but this has happened off and on over the last year or so.
Oh, so maybe the infrastructure on that area is a little bit weak for 5 or something. Because I know you know, they try to expedite that from a competitive standpoint because you're in an older area. Who knows what it could be?
So that back and forth between you and our friend Jennifer Kelly, is that some television I can explore?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that similar to the Fire Sticks and the Chromecast and that type of thing?
It sounds better than the one that I have, actually.
Well, what makes it? By the way, what we're talking about is one of our
buffers.
Yeah, one of our friends and supporters was going back and forth with Fred about one of those type of non-cable devices.
Legal IPTV. Yeah.
Now explain that to me.
Well, it's just not Bell and it's not Rogers and it's somebody somewhere providing this television service at a much reduced rate with the proper equipment. Now, from what I understand, there are, you know, legal ones and there are illegal ones. And the legal ones tend to, you know, be better service. I'll leave it at that because I've actually exposed myself now because my history or my experience with it is a lot of buffering. Like you're watching something and then it starts to buffer and it's maddening. It's almost useless. But apparently there are those, which sounds like the one that has been referred to you, us, as, you know,
on the up and
a
up.
Valid one.
Well, and mm-hmm. when you say they buffer, like you know, most people have heard about a Fire Stick or Chromecast.
Mm.
But I'm going to be
yeah,
honest.
But Chromecast
I'm not
100%. Chromecast is the interface to provide the service.
I don't really understand how it works. So explain it to
all
me.
All right. Well, you get a Chromecast. Like I have a Chromecast. Then you subscribe to the service and you put the parameters in, and then your Chromecast delivers it to your TV.
Is that the same as a Fire Stick?
Yeah, I would imagine. Yes, I haven't had.
And then so you pay a one-time fee. And is there an ongoing subscription?
Yes.
And you said the problem with it is it buffers and you can't record.
Yes, you can't record. And the buffering is you can't count on it. So you might say, oh, I'm watching the game tonight. And then the whole game, because so many other people are, it buffers. So
is that like the Chromecast thing? Is that the Chromecast?
Well, it's not the Chromecast per se. It's the service that you have. You use Chromecast to act. You could use Apple TV. You could use Chromecast. You could use a Fire Stick. Those are sort of like the interfaces. It sends it to your TV.
It was a wireless interface.
Right, because the guys that I know that have Fire Stick, they don't. I've never heard them talk about it buffering during a live sporting event. Because really, all I want to have. Mm-hmm. I don't need. At some point, if they can't fix this, I'll just get rid of it. And then I'll use one of those. Because really all I want is to be able to watch football and golf, really. Other than that, I don't need a broadcast television experience.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
And so is this IPTV better, you think?
Oh, it depends on the service. Like, you got to try it and see. Because I hear lots of complaints, and the experience hasn't been the best for me. And the one that I use... You know, I know another guy, another young fella uses it, and he doesn't seem to have a problem. So, you know, is it from what I understand, too, Howard, it's been explained to me that Bell and Rogers, they have a whole department trying to stay ahead of it. So they have ability to interrupt that IPTV signal.
And to see what you're doing. Do they?
Cause the buffering, yes.
Do they really?
Yes.
Those dicks.
So there are no simple answers other than give it a shot and see how it works. Can I just, while we're on this and being pissed off, here's the thing that drives me crazy. You know, Prime TV had Welcome to Wrexham.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you know season 3 if you want it? It's just not on Prime. Now you have to buy the City TV Plus add-on. So the other night, I go on Prime to watch Welcome to Wrexham, like I have any other time. And no, if you want to watch that, it's on City TV Plus. They'll give you a 7-day free trial. But a lot of these streaming services are doing this now. Yeah. Popular shows, they take off the main service and put it on an add-on.
No, I know.
are they out of their minds? Because the first thing that came to my mind was, I'm paying for Rogers. I'm paying for Prime. Now I'm going to pay another tier? I'm sorry.
So is season three enough. Is season three streaming now?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I think part of that, though, is that the some of these networks are pulling them off of, so like Amazon Prime probably licensed the program, and then Paramount Plus came along and they decided, well, okay, we're not going to do that anymore, and so we'll take it into our world. And so to access that world, now Prime has the add-ons. You know, they have add-ons at a lot of the...
Absolutely they do. But my question is, like...
I know they do, yeah.
Can't you just take it for, you know, get... It's like $7, so you take it for the time you want to watch the thing and then just cancel it.
You could. But to me, it's just the principle. It's like, oh, I have Prime. I could get Welcome to
Rich. No, I know.
And, you know, it's... And then you just assume you've got it. But then you don't. But this has happened. I know that happened with that Kevin Costner show. They did the same thing. And
there's several shows where you go on Prime, and the next thing you know, you're subscribing to Crave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's anyway. It's
got to keep track of your services. Service you already have, and you got to make sure it's not on that one, right?
Well, that's it. And the thing is about this IPTV, a lot of that stuff comes with it. Okay. And I'll tell you, I don't know why I'm whispering, because I drive through Brampton here. There's signs everywhere. IPTV, $7.95 a month with the phone number. So if the cops aren't knocking on their door, why would they knock on mine?
Well, because, you know, they'll use you and make an example of you. We're going to take Patterson down from the inside. The Empire. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's my Bell 5 story, and I'll let you know after tomorrow's technician call if it works or not.
When you were waiting on hold, did you have lovely music, or was it the same piece of music that was playing over and over?
Same piece of music over and over again.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
Yep.
That's one of the things on hold.
Dan, I don't want
to play, like, what?
World music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Something a little bit different.
Well, some places you can actually... select it, right? Would you
smart
like to hear
people,
country
yeah.
music?
Yes.
Would you? Yeah, okay.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that before. Would you like country music? Would you like pop music? Would you like, you know, classical music? And on and on.
Bunch of other things happened while we were away for the Humble and Fred long, long weekend. Did you guys see the story? And I thought, well, should I send this to Dan because he is the news department of the Humble and Fred show? Hmm? Or should I just bring it up on the program? Oh, by the way, just quickly before I forget, we are so close, by the way. I'll say by the way again. We are so close to the release of our summertime thing. A lot of progress was made. Did you send it to Dan? Has Dan seen the prototype yet?
You'd
love it.
Okay.
Yeah, it worked out great. Mm-hmm. And we're very excited to share it with everyone. Don't think we've forgotten. It'll be the Humble and Fred, the summer of Humble and Fred, and we hope to be part of your summer, if summer ever comes. So this story, Dan, I wasn't sure if you saw it, in the New York Post, the headline, "The Gouda, Bad and Ugly, New York Law Student Addicted to Cheese Went to a $6,000 per week rehab for her cheese addiction."
Wow.
She was so hooked on cheese, she had to go to rehab to end her insatiable appetite for dairy. And there's all these pictures. She's a very attractive human. And she would be eating.
She's not overweight? The cheese didn't put pounds
on
her?
No. Well, Dan, I don't know. She doesn't seem fat in this picture. Oh, well, she's definitely not skinny. She says her addiction stemmed. Yeah. Well, she wasn't spending $6,000 a week on cheese. She went to rehab to kick cheese.
So I guess that's a cheese-free environment over there.
At her peak, she weighed 172 pounds, and she was definitely, you know, a bit curvy. And then there's a picture of the, when she stopped eating cheese, she definitely lost some weight.
What's her cholesterol?
Crazy, man.
Through the roof.
She had to. The family had. They had a. They had an intervention.
This sounds stupid. Are you sure this is real?
I heard this story on. I heard this on other sources first. I don't know if it's real. It's definitely a New York Post type of story. She has dropped from 166 pounds, I guess, to 140. Anyway, she looks much better, and I guess she feels better. She says, I still dabble in cheese, but not in the way I used to before.
Well, it's so good.
I know. It really is.
You look, the other day I had, we were at a regular bread, but there was some raisin bread here that Delise gets for the kids. So I had a couple of slices of raisin bread with thin sliced cheddar on it. Man, it was good. You know, the cheese with the raisins in the bread. Just think about cheese.
I've never thought of that.
Oh, really good.
You've never thought of what, putting cheese on bread?
No, on raisin bread.
Okay. On raisin
bread. I put it on bread all the time. Well, yeah. Raisin bread.
There's a cheese that Dan introduced me to, this Cambazola, that soft cheese.
Yeah.
And jokes aside, I relate to, I don't think I could be addicted to cheese, but when I have cheese in the house, I can't stop eating it.
Cheese in the house.
Yeah.
I mean it. Like, I bought some more of that. I was at the cheese boutique, true story, and I went there to get a steak. That's for later. Mm-hmm. Because they've got a great meat department, and I felt like making myself a steak. But they've got so much good cheese. So the other day I was in there, and I bought one a similar soft cheese, and I just ate it. Ate it with crackers, with grapes.
Well, there's a great cheese selection also at Palma Pasta.
Yes.
And, Dan, what's that cheese you turned me on to at Costco? Jarlsberg or something? What's it called?
Yeah, Jarlsberg is one of them, yeah.
Is it a soft cheese? I love soft cheese.
It's not. It's softer than normal cheese, I would say, but it just has this. It's almost like in the Swiss family, but it's so good, eh, Dan?
Yeah, totally.
According to
Manchego, that's a Manchego.
According to Dr. Neil Barnard, author of The Cheese Trap, and a professor of medicine at George Washington University, says cheese contains opiate chemicals that attach to the very same brain receptors that fentanyl or any other narcotics attach to. Some people refer to cheese as dairy crack.
I get it. And yeah. Just think about cheese. Just think about
it for a second.
It was good with the raisin bread. It's fabulous with grapes. You know, it's good with like a hot pepperoni. Like, it just works with everything.
It's great when you melt it around eggs.
It's such a compliment to most foods. And, you know, when all else fails, add some cheese. Jesus. Yeah, even when I fry eggs, sometimes I'll grate a little cheese on top of it and just let it melt on top.
Think about that. How great is cheese with pasta?
Well, this is it, Howard. You know, it's... You know, it's what makes pizza work. It's what makes lasagna work. When I make spaghetti, we grate cheese on top. It's like, and as I said, then it works with sweet stuff and fruity stuff.
As we speak, you can watch live the cheese rolling races in Gloucester right now.
What? Oh, the wheels, the cheese wheels.
Wow. Yeah. They're rolling races,
Remember Buddy Boy there at the Cheese Boutique, Howard, took us in?
Afram
took us in there and showed us a wheel that was worth, like, I forget how many thousands of dollars that he imports.
Well, they supply cheese to restaurants all over the city.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't been in that place, you know, because we've been...
away.
Well, away, and also I basically spending most of my time at Palma Pasta, and I hadn't been inside the Cheese Boutique, which at one point was, you know, Afram's been on the show, and we've talked to him about cheese, but they've really done a number there, Dan. If you haven't been, it's on Ripley Avenue, just off the South Kingsway, here in this hood, and it's really expanded.
Well, Dan, you would have gone there when you lived in Blair West Village, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I when I left the area, they had just moved down to where they are now. Yeah. I remember going into the they were on Blue.
They were on Bloor Street. That's how we when I moved to Blair West Village at Windermere and Bloor. That's kind of where the original location was.
Mm-hmm.
But they've turned it into something. Dan, they've got three on that street now. They've got the main store. They've got a little sort of a food truck area. They've got mm-hmm. some. They're associated with the fishmonger there. It's quite something. But cheese is at the heart of it all.
Do you guys like goat cheese? Like, I love goat cheese, like on a salad. Or Delise buys this goat cheese that has, it's covered like in cranberry. Mm-hmm. And then on a cracker. Oh, man. It's a taste sensation.
This cheese that I got that was soft was, I can't remember the name of it, but it also had a little bit of truffle sort of a vibe to it. So it was like...
Yeah,
I'm quite serious when I say it. I have an addictive personality. You know that, and it wasn't like I had the cheese in the house for more than a couple of days because mm-hmm. every time I thought of like, oh, maybe I could have some cheese with some grapes, that would be very elegant. And then before I know it, was all gone.
I'm not sure cheese is the best thing for you to be eating with your heart problem.
Why?
Well, you might cack.
But I don't have that kind of heart problem.
Oh, okay.
I've got the.
Oh, that's too bad. I thought I could make more of a bit out of it.
No, do it. Go ahead. I didn't mean to fuck up your bit. Hey, have you opened your pool yet? Speaking of it. My heart problem is electrical. It's not. I don't have any blockage.
I know. I just thought I'd open.
Usually, listen. I'm usually my batting average of going along with your bits is pretty high.
Oh, I know it is. Hey, what about to me a barbecued hamburger with real, not Rene's blue cheese sauce? It's sort of like cheating, but I love it. Their blue cheese dressing, I love it. As you know, love it.
Oh,
I have it on a ton of things. But if I'm cooking barbecuing a barbecue, I love getting real authentic blue cheese and melting it on top. Blue cheese may be my favorite cheese.
I love blue cheese, too.
And it's amazing how many people go, you like that stuff?
Ooh, it smells like feet.
Yeah, I know. Fuck, I love it.
Your feet smell like feet.
Yeah. Your feet.
Yeah. You got feet cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Feet cheese. Dan, do you have anything to add before we wrap up this discussion of cheese?
Cheese, I have no more cheese. I'm bringing in the Gloucester cheese rolling was a big thing.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah.
Let's go back to it. Do you want to say it again just to have something to say? Or?
You know, Gorgonzola.
Gorgonzola.
Right?
Gorgonzola.
Gorgonzola. That's a form of blue cheese, right? It's of the same ilk, right? Yeah. There was a restaurant in Peterborough years ago. It's gone. The guy, the father, that little Italian restaurant there at Hunter and George, I think, or Water. I forget what the name of it was, and little Italian guy owned it, and he died, and his kids sort of ran it into the ground or something. Anyway, the first time I had ever had, I had a strip loin steak, tender and delicious, with melted gorgonzola on it, like on the steak. The first time I'd ever had that,
mm-hmm.
and what a taste sensation that was. So good. So good.
If I can segue to steak, so very often... You know, if somebody's here, Dan or Buddy Dave or one of the kids, I like to take that opportunity and make something to eat of my own creation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of the time when I'm by myself, you know, I'll just open up like Uncle Ben's instant rice and then some tuna thing and next and it's put some spinach next to it. And that's dinner. I don't really take a lot of time. And when you're eating by yourself, it's just like, all right, I'll just eat something.
Yep. Yeah.
And obviously, very often, I'm lucky because I live in this neighborhood. I can go next door and have somebody, you know, make the best jerk chicken I've ever tasted.
Mm-hmm.
Make them. My point is, I wanted to have a steak. In fact, I think I mentioned to you, Dan, that you were gonna come over one night a few weeks ago. I said, oh, I think we should have a steak. I haven't had steak in a long time.
Yeah.
So I go to the cheese boutique because yesterday there was another place in Mimico that I went there. They sell meat, and it was closed. So the cheese boutique has an incredible meat department. And I'm not really that, you know, I don't know what the best steak is, but I got a ribeye, a small one.
Can't go wrong.
Pretty good size, but not like maybe 10 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
That cost you $40 or so?
$27.
Oh, wow.
But I thought that was a good, I thought that was a pretty good deal for a steak. Then I got some buffalo mozzarella cheese, and I made myself a, and I cut up some tomatoes with some basil, olive oil, salt and pepper. So that was the appetizer. Then I got some mushrooms, made those on the side. And then I did the cast iron, basting the steak with butter and then bake it in the oven. For and I should have taken a picture of the steak because it was perfect. It was like a little red on the middle, sort of medium on the outside. And I got to tell you, the whole thing, I did the math because I thought I would add it up. It cost me $35. Mm-hmm. Steak was $27, the cheese, and then the mushrooms. So for $35, yeah, I mean, oftentimes you go and have, you know, takeout food, it costs similar. But I'll tell you, it was really, really good. Like, really good.
One thing I've learned through skyrocketing beef prices is you really get what you pay for. Like,
do you think that's an average? Like, that didn't seem expensive for a cut like that to me.
No, not now. No. I mean, it's outrageous, but it's as the prices go, that's fair. It's just what's happened to the price of a steak. But I, you know, Burton's, we often talk about where we get those hanger steaks. Last summer, I was there and I was going up north alone and I see this T-bone and it was $32. And I thought, I should just get that T-bone. And then I thought, oh, $32 for a steak, really? And this place has low prices. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. And it was like US AAA and, you know, it had all the billing of a good steak. Well, it's true. Like, I have bought a steak that looks like that at Sobeys, you know, in the white styrofoam, and it's shit.
Yeah.
Like, always shit. And then I this steak, it was almost like you couldn't wreck it.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It was so good.
Well, that's just what I thought. Good. I was in there, I was on my way home, and I passed Sobeys, and I thought, maybe I'll just go and get one of their little foam things, steaks.
No.
Foam package. And I thought, you know what, for another 5 minutes and a few extra dollars, because I haven't had a steak. Have you, one thing about prices, have you seen what a steak costs in a restaurant now, in a real restaurant?
Yeah.
I was going to say that meal that you had probably was over $100.
Well, oh, yeah. Here's why, because in any, like, I'm talking from the keg upwards now, a 10 or 12 ounce ribeye steak, where they used to be, you know, I remember them being in the $30 to $40 entree, you know, category. Now they're all $50, $60, and $70. $70. Like, it's not uncommon. And again, I'm not saying about the keg, but it's not uncommon when you go to a restaurant that serves steak to, for having it being $50 or $60 bucks now.
Yeah. Same with rack of lamb. I love a rack of lamb. And in a restaurant, now, if you want rack lamb, you're well over $50 in a restaurant. But speaking of Sobeys, they had a sale on a couple of weeks ago, New Zealand spring lamb. And I think I got a sizable rack. I think it was like $23 or $24. And I'm thinking, I don't know, you're in the mindset that just one piece of meat for $20-some-odd seems expensive. But unfortunately, today it's not. Well, I took that up north and cooked it, and it was outstanding. And it would have been like more than double in a restaurant.
Yeah, for sure.
Way more than double in a restaurant. So what are we saying here? Restaurants are very expensive now.
Well, and
if you have any ability to cook and prepare as you did with your steak, Howard, why would you go to a restaurant?
But here's the thing. I've said this, and so have you, for years. I rarely order steak in a restaurant.
Neither do I. You're right.
Part of it is the cost. I mean, you know, when Lumby was in town a couple of summers ago, we went to Morton's downtown. And again, it's the steaks start at $60 and $70 and $80. And you know what? They do a pretty good job, and it was pretty good.
A treat.
But I don't have steak very often.
Right.
And what that showed me last night, because I know what you said about it's hard to wreck it. Like, I didn't cook that steak very long. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a sear on both sides and on the fat side, basted it a little bit, put it in the oven in a cast iron pan, took it out very quickly, let it rest. It was really good, and I enjoyed it. You know, it was a little bit, it seems weird, I don't know why, when I eat by myself to go to that much trouble. But, you know, I had been thinking about steak for a while, and I can't remember. I don't know about you guys. I can't remember the last time I had one. I just don't think of it anymore.
No. Well, Delise is right off it because it's got to be perfect or she's not interested. They have these, it's Sobeys, and you know, the French cut pork chops that are pre-seasoned. She loves them.
Yeah.
So if I get her one of those, then I can try a steak or something. She'd rather have a pork chop than a steak any day of the week, even though pork is evil in some
pork
of people.
Did you ever get a
religions?
Do you ever get, that's right. Did you ever get a spatchcock chicken?
Is that the flattened chicken?
Yeah, spatchcock. That's what they Farm Boy. I think even Sobeys now, they've got them pre-seasoned and pre-spatchcocked.
Oh, yeah.
Just banged out. It's like, talk about indignity. First you kill the chicken, then you hammer it so it's flat.
The fucker.
Flat.
I find I could eat a whole one of those myself.
Oh, fuck, easy.
Easily.
Easily.
Come on. Easily. Like some sort of press thing?
Yeah. Or well, you've seen about spatchcocking.
No, I don't.
What do you mean,
really?
No. How dare you?
That's when you flatten someone with your cock.
Dan cocking. That's it. When Dan just takes his hammer and smashes it against the chicken to kill it. So spatchcocking is to flatten it. You break it at the breast and it flattens it so it's easier to cook. Or can be easier.
So that's it? There's not kind of some sort of spread press that you know.
I don't know.
You just cut it properly and press down. I thought you had one of those, Dan. But
oh, I'm sure he has.
It's like, you know, butterflying for, you know, that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought there was some sort of special procedure that flattened it and, you know.
Well, no. Again, not being a butcher, I don't know how they do it, but that's basically, they sell them now in most grocery stores pre-seasoned.
Yeah.
Right.
And, but, you know, and it's in a bag all flattened out.
But if I may, these Burtons, again, getting back to Burtons, they're bone-in, skin-on chicken breasts. Same thing. They are so good and so reasonable. Like $3 or $4, these things each. And they're vacuum-packed. Put them in the freezer forever. And they're the same thing. I have never cooked one of those and sort of wrecked it. They're always juicy, always tender, always flavorful. But again, they supply restaurants as well, right?
Yeah. Dan, we need like 15 minutes to take care of some business. So it's a shorter Humble and French show today. Dan's is going to come back 15 minutes from now. We'll do the news. We got a bunch of business to take care of. And then I got to get on to be in this golf tournament. And we'll talk a little bit about the PGA Tour player that took his own life in a second. But first, Freddie, let's talk about these. Let's do a couple here.
Yeah, Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim will be by on Wednesday to talk about the Financial Stress Index for 2024. The Financial Stress Index. Sort of self-explanatory. That's all I'll say right now. But Tim will, you know, he'll enlighten us on Wednesday. And remember, if you have a portfolio and you question its performance, you might want to let the Sherpa have a look at it. He'll give you a second opinion. Straight up, man, if he thinks it's on track, you're good to go. But if, you know, it's not hitting the marks that you think it should, well, maybe the Sherpa can help you out. He's the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
And we talked about inflation coming down, and in anticipation of something happening with the Bank of Canada in June about interest rates, now may be a great time to talk to Kazarian. Mike Kazarian, one of the broker owners of Lenders Choice Mortgages, independently owned and operated, member of the Mortgage Alliance, license number 13582. And of course, by now you understand that it's not just about going to your bank and accepting whatever they offer you. They don't have any preferences at Lender's Choice. No preferences to one lender. They work with the lender that makes the most sense for you. And doesn't that make more sense? To help you achieve your goals, they work with banks, credit unions, monoline lenders, alternative lenders, and private lenders. And as I say, they will find a solution for all your mortgage financing needs. Mike at lenderschoice.ca or Lenders Choice Mortgages, lenderschoice.ca. And I'd scare him by the shade. Do you want to quickly throw in a little bow dog, and then we'll switch to a sports story?
We'll play the recorded one right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to get rid of this, and then I'll do this. All right. Mm-hmm. Hang on. I got to stop that. Stop already. Okay. Here we go. Let's hear from Bodog.
Feeling caught in a neutral zone? When things start to go offside, you know it's time to play. It's easy to find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Check out the latest sports odds and get free tips to help you score this hockey season. Visit Bodog.net today. Hashtag make a play.
You may have heard on the weekend, or may not, I don't know how much attention you were paying to it, that a young golfer, 30 years old, a kid named Grayson Murray, was playing in this past weekend's or past week's PGA Tour stop, and played Thursday, came out Friday after 16 holes, left the golf course, saying, you know, he didn't feel well, and apparently went home and committed suicide.
Mm. Terrible.
And he's had some, there's a lot, it's a bigger, there's a lot more to the story, but the short of it is, he's had a lot of issues, addictive and others, and apparently had been, you know, sober for a year. Things seem to be kind of trending in the right direction. He had won 5 or 6 years ago, won again this year, just a few months ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring it up for a variety of reasons, just to talk about, you know, the pressures of professional athletes, but also the just how tough it is out there for people. People are struggling.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, money and fame isn't everything, right? There's another indication of that, because you said the kid had won a couple of tournaments, so he was, you know, he was in the big leagues, right?
Oh, yeah, and had been for some time.
Yeah, and you know that term, a lot to live for? Mm-hmm. Says who? Says who?
Well, that's the thing.
It all depends on what's going on in your brain.
He'd been dealing with alcohol and mental health issues in the past. And a couple of years ago, like I don't know about other sports, but in golf, mm-hmm. the players rarely break with rank. What I mean by that, they're really, you know, this LIV thing aside, PGA Tour players generally are pretty conservative, Republican, sort of, they're sole operators. They generally don't rock the boat. But a couple years ago, Grayson Murray famously took the tour to task for their lack of mental health support. Mm-hmm. He in a scathing commentary on one of the I think maybe the Golf Channel, whatever. He wrote this whole thing about how they never help him. There's no counseling. And he was struggling. And that really opened up a lot of conversation around, you know, should the tour do more for, like other sports do. Like, that's what I want to say. In hockey and in football, it seems like mental health issues have been being dealt with now for some time. It's part of the conversation.
Well, sports leagues have been slow to the mark because of liability reasons. They never wanted to sort of admit that there was a connection between mental health and injury, and whether it was or not, they just didn't want to go there. But slowly, they've been pulled into the 21st century, and maybe golf, because it's a non-physical, non-contact sport, you know, had a different attitude, you know, like, well, hey, you can't get a concussion in this sport, so nope. Why do we care? Or why do we need to be involved?
But being a tour golfer is a very lonely existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, they have a team of people around them when they're practicing, and they've got fitness and support, and they deal, a lot of them have sports psychologists, but the day-to-day existence away from the golf course is very, very solitary. And if you're somebody that has you know, mental health issues already and alcohol and addiction issues. That life can, there's a lot of time when you're alone waiting to play the next round, and you might be on the road by yourself for weeks at a time. But it was shocking that, I don't know why his age, you know, I think part of the reason his age struck out to me mm-hmm. is because I have a kid that's the same age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlie will be 30 in October. Right. And you think about it, what leads to that decision? Because clearly, you know, in Thursday's opening round, he played a normal round of golf, finished, signed his scorecard, went home. But somehow between that day and the next day, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think suicide is a snap decision. Something must have been brewing in his brain for some time in order to go, okay, I don't feel well, I'm on the 16th hole, I'm going to walk in from here and then commit suicide.
Yeah, in his brain, he just couldn't take it anymore. And who knows what meds he was on. Maybe he stopped taking them. Whatever it is. I don't know. It's hard to relate to when you don't struggle with that. Well, Howard, look at probably, yeah, really, someone close to us, like Marty Streak.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you scratch your head. I mean, that brings it right home for us. We both know him, knew him personally, and I knew him since he was like a teenager. You know, and Marty's just the guy bopping around all the time. The good-looking guy, lots of chicks, making lots of money, high profile in the city. And then loses his job, and within how long commits suicide? How, like, Marty had to have those tendencies long before he committed suicide, but nobody knew, right? Like, just another example. And you look at this kid. This Murray Grayson.
Grayson Murray,
same thing. Yeah, Grayson Murray. People would look at him and think, man, he's got the world by the tail. Well, he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't.
You know, I have a friend. I've talked about him on the show before. He used to be a very good golf friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Last guy I ever drank with, actually, 2016. And seemed to be, you know, sort of outgoing, great guy. Really, 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 really good guy. Barry, no one had a bad word to say about him. Guy's name was Klaus Hagenberg. And out of nowhere, he hung himself in his garage. And, you know, like, if somebody could be the person least likely to do it, that would have been that person. The way you describe Marty, I mean, even more so than Marty. Klaus was just, you know, everybody's friend and just a very easy, super easygoing guy. That's not even, like, Marty was outgoing and, you know, Marty had some, you could see Marty had some demons. But Klaus, what I found out later, also had those demons. Drank way more than people knew. Very addictive personality. And who knows with this kid? Maybe Thursday, he's, you know, part of the story is he's been sober for 8 months. Maybe he went off his sobriety and felt such shame about it that he decided to do that. But it's such a waste. It really is a waste. And it's very, I know it's very selfish is what it is.
You know, that word comes up. And I was just sort of formulating that thought, like, I can't imagine being in that position. I don't know what it would take for me. And then I'm looking at it from the other side now. For me to actually go there and think about that, because I'm selfish. You know, I'm too interested in, you know, will the Leafs win the Stanley Cup? I want to see what my grandkids are like growing up. I want to taste that next nice cheese. You know, like there's so much in my mind to live for despite any little problems along the way. I'm selfish from that standpoint. I can't believe that somebody would choose to bow out before their time.
Yeah, prematurely, yeah.
Oh, wow. Like, and obviously it's a horrible mental illness that, you know, is chemical related and on and on and on and on. Like, to be inflicted with that has got to be just horrible.
Yeah, that's it. I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm too interested to see how things are going to turn out. You know, I just, you know, whether it's, whether it's, you know, if I be seeing my grandkids, you know, and seeing what happens to my kids and. Mm-hmm. Seeing if I can ever stop pull hooking my driver. Really?
Right. Exactly. And that's that. It gets back. What's that book you're reading right now that's
Meditations? Seinfeld?
Well, you know, the gist of that book, it's like nothing really matters. Like, it matters today, but it won't tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's just too bad you can't get through to these people. Well, you can't get through to them because it's a mental illness. So, I mean, it's got to be dealt with like a mental illness. But, you know, I mean, from that standpoint, like, it's too bad that it came to that. It is such a waste because whatever was bothering him is, you know, in the moment. It won't matter.
So in January, after he won this tournament, he was being interviewed. And the guy was very articulate, very well-spoken. And here's the words of the guy that killed himself 3 days ago. In January, he said, a lot of hard work pays off. It's not easy. I want to give up a lot of times. Give up on myself. Give up on the game of golf. Give up on life at times, he said. And then I've learned, he said, just persevere. And when you get tired of fighting, let someone else fight for you. That's what happened. So that was his state, mental state in January. And I guess on Friday at some point, he got tired of fighting and didn't let someone else fight for him.
Right. But, you know, selfish from the other standpoint now, like you mentioned your buddy that hung himself in the garage. Okay. So you don't want to live any longer. You want to commit suicide. But now this is a display, a horrific display for your family.
Yeah.
Did that not cross your mind? And how sick are you for that not to cross your mind? So here I'm going to hang myself in the garage, and my wife or maybe one of my kids is going to come out and find me. Like, is that not part of the thought process? You know, it was like Marty, you know, like put a sign on his door, call the cops or something. You know, not the same, but still somewhat dramatic.
And did he kill himself that way as well? Like hanging yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Can I just pause for a second and say, you know, that, and not to be too morbid, but like, see, that's the thing is I don't, besides the fact that I want to see if I can ever cure my golf swing, how do you get past the fact that you're going to be hurting yourself and before you die, you're going to be struggling and in some discomfort for I don't know how many minutes it takes. But that's the part, one of the parts that I find fascinating, because, like, how do you do that?
Don't know. Yeah. Especially when there's access to stuff you can just take and lay down on your bed.
Well, that's the way I would do it. Just take an overdose of, you know, sleep medication so I could go to sleep, finally.
Yeah. So, because I always, I don't know, when people call suicide selfish, it's sort of weird, but it's sort of true, too, in a lot of situations.
Or maybe it's not being selfish enough. Maybe that's what your point is, that if you were more selfish, meaning you wanted more, you finally, you know, you think there's more to life to be lived. But anyway, this was the big story in some sporting circles this weekend. Excuse me, this kid kills himself at age 30. 30!
Yeah, when I first heard the story, I leaped right to that. Because because the initial reports, you know, it wasn't released that it was suicide, and not knowing the guy, it was so easy to put two and two together. 30 years old.
Yeah.
Won a couple of tournaments, walked off the course, next day he's dead, he's 30 years old. It's like, huh? No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even before, everyone, I was at the golf course on one of those days when it happened, and before it was official, that's what I was saying. I said 30-year-olds just don't have... you know, there's no grave illness, and all of a sudden at 30 you die.
Yeah, and I knew nothing about him or his history with, you know, substance abuse or depression. I knew none of that. I didn't even know him, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. No, of course.
But again, when you just read the profile, it's like, that's not hard to figure out.
Anyhow, in other sporting news, where are we at with the National Hockey League, I believe it's called? We're into May. They're in the Final Four. And where does anything stand?
Oilers Dallas 1-1 going back to Edmonton. I believe the game is tonight. Yesterday, the Rangers took a 2-1 lead in their series with Florida. Surprised. Florida had a lead yesterday, and then Rangers, I think, battled back the tide, or was it vice versa? I don't know. It went into overtime. I haven't been watching it. No, I think, yeah, Florida was up, and then Rangers tied it. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Rangers won in overtime yesterday.
Do you want to take a second here now and maybe talk about the world of Bodog?
Yeah, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sports book, to their fully loaded casino and race book, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Panthers still favored to win the Stanley Cup.
I need your loving. Florida's still a favorite over Edmonton?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If yes. Edmonton does win, though, because I'm cheering for them now because of Edmonton Steve, will that be the first Canadian team in how long?
To what?
To win the Stanley Cup.
93 since the Habs. 30 years.
Wow. And what about the Memorial Cup? How are my Moose Jaw Warriors doing?
Honestly, I don't know.
All right. Well, neither do I, obviously.
You could actually watch them. I mean, there's full tilt television coverage of it. If
I
you
could
had
watch
TV.
It via TV, exactly. Memorial Cup.
I think the big disaster right now for all is the Toronto Blue Jays, though. One of the highest payrolls in baseball, in the top 10.
Oh, yeah?
And one of the worst records in baseball, and it will probably culminate with the firing of the manager, who is the last guy that should be fired. It's the guys above him. Shapiro and Atkins have just ruined that team since Alex Anthopoulos was given the door.
That's too bad.
Or shown the exit.
Because I know you love your Blue Jays.
It's just amazing how bad they suck, and the wrong people will pay for it.
At the Memorial Cup, the Saginaw Spirit and the London Knights are currently in the lead in the round robin. Warriors have played one game, lost one game. The Drummondville Voltigeurs have lost both of their games, so it's not looking good for them. And the next game, I believe, is tonight. Yeah.
Who is it, Moose Jaw in London?
It doesn't really say.
Oh, okay. Well, aren't we on top of all the information?
Well, there you go. Moose Jaw Warriors. In the Memorial Cup. All right, Dan, let's get back to work, Dan Duran. If you're listening, everybody's got to do sometime. Hey, I had a new non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's called, I sent Darren a picture. I should have sent you one, too. You know, pictures of beer. That's what I do now. The beer is called Harmon's Half Day. Hazy IPA.
Mm.
It was excellent. Really, really good. I bought that. And the other one I like this summer, and I've had them before, and I only got it this time because the Guinness was not available, is the Partake IPA. And both of them are excellent. But if I ever do come up to see you, I'm going to bring you a Harmon's Half Day Non-Alcoholic Hazy IPA.
All right. Although I got to tell you, you had left me a couple of partakes. I didn't particularly care for it, but, you know, different strokes.
What do you mean, last year when I was there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I try. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I just...
But again, there are regular beers that I can drink and go, I don't really care for that. So I'm not saying it was tied to the non-alcohol aspect. Maybe. I'm just saying I didn't particularly, the one you gave me, I didn't particularly care for. It's not one that I would reach for again. You know, the way you reach
for. No, you reach for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
You reach for a nice beer. It's funny, interesting, curious. I even when I was in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
I went most of the winter and barely had any beer.
Right.
And now I have a six pack or two in my house right. at all times.
You know what? Conversely, I spent 2 months in the Dominican Republic, drank way too much beer, and since I've been home, haven't drank a lot of beer. Isn't what? That funny the way that... Yeah.
What do you drink up yeah. there?
Up where?
Up where the trailer is.
Oh, my Miller Lite. And I'm saying I have some up there, but I'm just saying when I was in the Dominican, it was... I probably drank beer every day since I've been.
Well, I guess you did.
Not close. By the way, have you seen that the provincial government, that evil guy, Doug Ford, who should be doing other things rather than worrying about our liquor laws, has expedited beer and wine
yeah.
in grocery and corner stores? It's going to start rolling out within the next couple of months. It was supposed to happen in 2026, but... they've reached a deal with the beer store, apparently gave them $250 million to look after their end of it, and it'll start rolling out within the next month or 2 months, and people up in arms that the Ontario government has given the beer store that much money, but believe me, they've done their math. They've done their math.
So the beer store will still exist, but its competition now will be...
Yeah, and it will be reduced over the next... It's an archaic system.
Yeah, I'd say. And they've had a monopoly for so long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's the only thing that pisses me off, is why do we have to pay them off? Why does the mm-hmm. public money... I'm sounding like Dan Duran now. Why mm-hmm. do we have to pay a private consortium of beer companies...
Mm-hmm.
to allow us to sell fucking beer and wine or beer and whatever in the corner store like everyone else in the world?
Because it's a deal that was struck. It's like treaties with indigenous people. You have to honor your agreements.
Oh, yeah. So in order to get out of the deal, we have to pay?
No, let me just comment. Yeah, because we've been so great at honoring our treaties with indigenous people.
No, I'm just saying that's the basis of it. And the thing is, and people go, well, why are they doing it? Well, here's the deal. If this is ever going to change and become the way it should be, yeah, some moves are going to have to be made along the way, and this is one of them. And everybody yapping about, oh, $225 million. At least you can see where that money's going. Most of the time, that much money, you don't even know where it's going.
Yeah, fair enough.
At all levels of government.
Yeah, for sure. Fair enough. But that's, you know, it's a different argument for a different time. All I know is it just seems weird that our government money, our dollars that we paid in our taxes,
mm-hmm.
assuage the concerns of a private company that's had a mm-hmm. monopoly for as long as I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they have a point. They've created an infrastructure under the certain, you know, the rules that they have right now. With
TFB, Dan, everywhere. Too fucking bad.
Yeah, but to get there, they have to do something, right? Because they'd be in court for years and years otherwise.
But Dan, wait a second. I'm trying to take the socialist argument for you.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. But,
of course you do.
Like if a bad, you know, legal
All right.
document was signed somewhere, you got to somehow get out of it.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, if change isn't easy sometimes, and people really across this province has been clamoring for change for years, well, that's what it's going to take. Get about how crazy it's going to be, though, now. Here's how crazy this is. You're going to be able to go into a grocery store like Sobeys and actually buy more than a six-pack.
Wow.
You're going to be able to buy like a 12-pack or a 24 in a grocery store.
Oh, that's good.
You know what that's going to do to our society?
Oh, I know. Everyone's
going to be chaos.
Everyone's going to be running up and down the streets yelling, shit, shit, poo. Dan, by the way, the next time something comes up in the world of socialism, I'm going to say to you, yes, but there's infrastructure in place. Time for this.
Now,
here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low.
Huh. Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes and asks for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from the palatial trailer of Dan Duran, where there's all sorts of knickknacks and things scattered about, here is movie anchor and television series regular, Daniel J. Gilbert Duran III.
Well, Trump got booed by libertarians over the weekend as his lawyers prepped for today's closing arguments in trial. Severe storms are making their way across North America, but we turn to this breaking trend, piglet yoga. Yes, apparently yoga is so boring that bringing piglets into the mix has the yogas.
Yogis.
Yogis? That's it. You're a yogi if you're, you do a yoga?
Yeah, you're yogi. Yeah, you're, I'm yogi, you're boo-boo.
Okay.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo.
It has yogis traveling hours to a place in Spencer, Massachusetts to spend time with baby pigs as they downward dog. The Beyond Yoga and Wellness owner teaches piglet yoga and says there's such a demand online, registrations are typically selling out within hours. The classes begin by inviting participants not to fret over interrupting their flows to interact with the piglets. So next you time you need... What?
What's that? Go ahead.
I thought you were saying that.
I'm going to say something.
So next time you need a different yoga experience, not only are there cats, goats, llamas, and bunnies, you can now add pig to your yoga.
What I was going to say is what I do to keep myself from being bored in yoga is hoping I don't die. I'm in there thinking, okay, I'm this hot. I wonder if I'm going to die. Yeah, I don't understand that, Dan, but great story, great reporting.
Yep. Well, I always want to bring animals to the mix here, and we're always,
That. Why is it that? Why can't anything in this Trump universe ever just be normal? They go to this park in Brooklyn while we were gone. It's got a permit. You can only get 3,500 people to gather. It's the law. You can't have more than 3,500 people. So Trump draws a crowd of about 3,000 plus people. But the right-wing media spent the entire weekend disputing it, saying, oh, no, that photo's been doctored. Meanwhile, they've got live shots of ABC News at the event, which is sparsely attended because it's the law in the park that you can't have more than this many people. Why can't they just go along with it?
I don't know about you, but this whole conversation got going, and then I started seeing pictures on Twitter about the with thousands and thousands of people. I'm like, wow, and then I looked at it closer, you'd see the Capitol in the background.
I know. They're so fucking dumb. There was another
crowds from Obama. Yeah, or Obama.
They got another crowd. It's like 30,000-40,000 people. It's at the wrong location, and it's Obama, and they're sharing it, saying, "Oh, you see, President Trump had more than 3,500 people." Just go along. Why can't they ever just accept the truth about the guy? That's all I have to say.
Did you see the story from that town he was in New Jersey? Wildwood or something? Did you hear the story connected to that one? They said there was 80,000 people at that rally.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it turned out they proved it was 7,000.
Yeah.
And you know what the response was? The population of Wildwood is 80,000. There were 80,000 people in Wildwood for Donald Trump. That's the way they spun it. But aerial views, head count, people that have, you know, no crowds. 80,000? Yeah, it was 7,000. The other 73,000 were going about their business, but they were in Wildwood at that time. So it became 80,000 for Trump.
So that,
and people,
that,
and that's your guy again. That's your guy.
Well, you've asked, so again, it's the same question I was asked. Why can't you just ever go along with the reality and the truth of the situation? Why go to us? And they go to such lengths. Again, the Wildwood one, the one in Brooklyn. Have you done anything about the chamber plan yet?
No. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Brett Tanner and the people at Tanner Financial, the Chamber Plant, for their golf tournament on Thursday. I went with my fine young son, Danny. We had a wonderful day. The weather was perfect. The golf was fun. The food was fantastic. It was really, really a nice day. So once again, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Did you golf well?
You know, you play sort of a different style when you're at a... Yeah, some good shots, some bad shots. My son's getting good, though.
Yeah, how's he like his new equipment?
Very nice. He loves that new driver.
Good.
He launched a couple about 280 yards with that thing.
Good for him.
Pretty nice, yeah. Isn't that funny? A son can hit a golf ball 280 yards, and I've never hit one 180. Crazy. My whole life.
That's right.
It's true. Well, it's why? Not, why is
well,
that?
Well, because, you know, maybe the genetics are different. It skipped over you and went to Danny.
I'd say.
All right, and thanks, of course. Check out the Chamber Plan, chamberplan.ca. Tomorrow, yep. See, we're wrapping the show up now, Dan, because I've got to go and get rained on for 5 hours. Tomorrow on the program, we do have a program, and our guest will be Jeff Merrick. You're going to talk some hockey?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about, I'm going to bring up this, I just want to get his thoughts on, you know, mental health as it relates to professional sports. And then Wednesday, Maureen Holloway returns to the program, which will be lots of fun. She's very, very bright, funny, all the things you want in a guest.
Yep. Very nice person. Two very nice people on the show this week. You know, Jeff can speak to, like, in the NHL, you know, there have been guys with the history of head injuries that took their own lives. And yep.
Dan, what about you? I know you've been sawed in the face, but have you ever had a concussion?
I don't think so.
It's just,
I don't remember, but I don't
think I was going to say, in your case, you would be excused for not knowing because you've been knocked around.
Been knocked around
more than
times.
Most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for your kind attention on today's program. We'll see you tomorrow.
Loving you all.
This episode of Humble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, O-Dog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. For contests and comments, we read all of our emails, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. So tell us what you think, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast to help us out. You can share an episode, maybe even rate it. Well, don't read that part of it. Or Humble and Fred from the Tanya Hutton Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, shit, shit, poo. Now, enjoy every goddamn day.
Lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands, or just clap your hands. Where's that?